Okay, we are back. And with us, as he is twice a month, is Professor Emeritus, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief, Eric Carlstrom. How are you?
Pretty good, Jeff. It's good to be back again and get to explore these issues. I'm kind of amazed we're still on our feet. We're still functioning, but
yeah.
We'll keep doing our best as long as we can. And it seems like there is a contingent in America that's not going to cave and is going to do their best to try to, and in the world. So
be survivors. There are going to be a lot of losses. I'm sorry to say. I really believe this, and possibly by January 1st, 2025, we'll have a real clear picture of how much loss we have sustained as a society and a culture. And I'm talking about numbers of people. And I think that, frankly, there are tens of thousands of people a day who are not making it to the next day. Now, it's that bad. And I don't mean to sound negative. I hate it. But it's my work. So anyhow, prepare and be strong. Use your brain. And you should get through this. Okay?
I would say get right with God, because we really are in dramatic and biblical times in so many ways. This is a spiritual war. So try to get on the right side of God and then do all the things that Jeff said and stay strong and know that, the good guys win in the end, but tough times are coming in the middle. They're very much upon us right now. And as you say, you've done a lot of work on this ultimate crime against humanity, which is the clot shot. And you and I have been kind of pursuing this organized stalking, electronic torture topic, which is a topic that very, very few other venues go into, except for the actual TIs themselves, who sometimes have their own podcasts. And, of course, it's all over the Internet, but it's not
I started doing this with Eleanor White, and I can't even remember how long ago. It was long ago, 25 years maybe, more? I don't know.
Yes. Well, I think this diabolical, evil targeting program really has its roots way back, certainly going back to MKUltra. Back in the 50s and 60s, goes back to the Phoenix program in the 60s and 70s, the COINTELPRO.
She was a very brave lady, very, very forthright. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking with her. Yeah.
Well, they're going after some awfully smart, good people. It's as if the Department of Defense just wants to test their latest non-lethal and neuroweapons against competent, challenging adversaries, that, to use their kinds of terminology. And so these people get watchlisted for whatever, writing a letter to the editor or getting on the wrong side of somebody in the deep state. And then they get, kind of forced through the fusion centers, and then kill contracts are put out on them. And this is really a form of human trafficking. And it's awful. It's hideous. I mean, if a neutron bomb's purpose is to destroy the people but leave the building standing, the purpose of the targeting, the gang stalking program, is to destroy the target's life and leave the target alive and then drive them over the edge till hopefully they commit suicide. So it's very, very dark. The gang stalkers actually celebrate, by many, many accounts, if one of their targets does commit suicide. So I would say that qualifies for demonic. In the Catholic tradition, suicide is the one unforgivable sin. So that would send you to hell in that worldview. And I certainly don't dispute that. This is tough sledding. And now I realize just about everybody is in a awful situation with these, with all these programs now available with the clot shot and everything. But I do have some breaking insights on this, and this is what I wanted to try to broach and breach it tonight, if that works for you. I noticed that you did load up several recommended posts that I've been putting up on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website, which is really to educate the public and especially targeted individuals so that they realize, you know, that they are victims of a very, very diabolical crime, which is a black project, actually, or a unacknowledged special access project. Once they realize that these protocols are used worldwide to target certain individuals that are watchlisted, then that it gives them, I think, probably the single best countermeasure to survive. And then they can learn more and more about the program, as we're all learning more and more. And that's the one kind of silver lining I see, Jeff, is that many, many targeted individuals with their podcasts and their communications with others have learned an awful lot. And we're kind of getting on the same page in terms of what's happening. And I find that to be encouraging. And I wanted to start, if you don't mind, with just a little quote, which is an overview for maybe some of your listeners who, you know, are not familiar with this. This comes from a lady I don't know. She wrote an article in 2019. Her name is Susan Sorkin. It's called Romola D. Here's Why Susie Dawson is One of Your Biggest Allies. We've talked about Susie Dawson. And Susan, in November 5th, 2019, put this thing together, I think, in a remarkably concise and brilliant way, actually, because it's such a complex program. She says, gang stalking is a secret, global-level, unconventional war. Okay, we've touched on so many of these points. You'll recognize a lot of this, Jeff. Being perpetrated against the human race by the military-industrial complex, central banks, and other dark money private interests, where our intelligence agencies and justice departments have been converted into their front organizations, and their fusion centers are being used to identify assets to divert, weaknesses to exploit, and populations to subvert. These crimes are being executed and concealed with an economic adaptation to unconventional warfare and counterinsurgency designed to be impossible to prove or escape. Gang stalking, security service stalking, no-touch torture programs, and electronic harassment are all variations of this form of warfare. Sure. Then she goes on, there are eight key tactics. This is very clever. Eight key tactics, the Five Eyes. Those would be the Five Eyes spy countries, the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, New Zealand. But actually, Israel is the second most powerful. So it's the Six Eyes and the Five Eyes. Employ in their subversion campaigns versus targeted individuals that act as major smoking guns to kind of indicate who's behind this. These are their tactics: intimidation, provocation, entrapment; 3, protraction, long-term campaigns; 4, exhaustion, emotional, financial, physical, spiritual, psychological; 5, use of counter-warfare; 6, use of influence operations, also called street theater skits, etc. 7, use of sophisticated smear slander campaigns; and 8, forced isolation of targeted individuals. And then she says, these tactics identify the Five Eyes targeted individual program as being an unconventional warfare and counterinsurgency program. This form of warfare includes information operations, and we've talked about this. Information operations are comprised of 1, military deception, or MILDEC; 2, operational security, or OPSEC; 3, computer network operations, or CNO; electronic warfare, EW; and 5, psychological operations. She says, why is this significant? It means the Five Eyes and Department of Justice have been penetrated and hijacked by non-state actors. It means the deep state is an insurgent movement, not a few corrupt officials. The concealed motive behind the Five Eyes secret war versus targeted individuals and organizations is this insurgency. The Five Eyes, she says, are executing an updated version of the unconventional warfare strategy called a mass-oriented insurgency, which, by the way, was the kind of insurgency that Mao used in China when he was taking over China back in the 40s. Mm-hmm. Outlined in a document called the CIA's Psychological Operations and Guerrilla Warfare Training Manual, which, by the way, was used by the CIA and the Contras against the government of Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Guatemala. In this global subversion campaign, millions of individuals are targeted for subversion by the deep state. I just think that's, you know, I just ran across that as I was completing this summary article that you've got posted there, which is called the Scope, Structure, and Purpose of, now my new acronym is GEETMO, because it sounds a little like Gitmo, which is an electronic concentration camp. Gang stalking, electronic experimentation, enslavement, execution, transhumanism, torture, murder operations. GEETMO, man. And then two, psychological profile of the perps, which become weaponized people then, as per cognitive warfare, and destructive cults, which are all involved in this, or many of them. And then finally, the protocols are now being implemented. And I go through all those things in this article, which references about 50 or 60 other posts on my website. And if one were to go through it all, it would be like a fairly sizable book or two or three. So for people looking for, you know, information about this program, the long and the short of it, I recommend this latest attempt on my part to summarize it. So,
Well, they're all under guests. Just if you go to guests and click on tonight's guests and look for Eric's name, you'll see it. Under his name are all these articles, and they're always just loaded with valuable information. I don't know how you put these things together so well, but you do. And they're all there.
Thank you.
And they should,
Well, you know, after 30 years teaching physical geography, I'm not really qualified in the sense of I don't have any military training or police training. But the role I've been thrown into, really, it not only is to survive the program, since it's been actively deployed against me since at least 2013, more actually, but also to describe it. Well, I don't have those skills, but I'm doing my best to be really what's amounts to being a criminal investigator, because these are crimes against humanity. This is treason. This is torture. This is attempted murder. If somebody does commit suicide, then people can be held accountable for murder. And there are many, many laws which are being broken by this program. So, yeah, I'm doing my best for the benefit of the targeted individuals, because all of us, I think, can be targeted with this program. And I also think, Jeff, that targeted individuals, we are and have been since probably the 50s and 60s, the beta tests for many of the really transhumanism programs that are being rolled out now. We do have a kind of a Bolshevik communist revolution in progress. It's very satanic. Transhumanism, posthumanism is the goal, and humans have to just marshal every bit of ounce of determination and strength that we have to preserve our not only our civilization.
Bet, absolutely. No time to slack off. No time to sit back. We're at the end of the line here. We've got to move. Can't sit back.
Yeah. But you know, it's what I would want to point out this time is you know, you learn what you learn when you learn it. You wake up to what you wake up to when you wake up to. You know, you see the chemtrails when you see the chemtrails. But I've just recently been listening to many of the interviews that Whitney Webb has given online with various podcasts about her new tour de force book called One Nation Under Blackmail, about the unholy alliance between organized crime and intelligence agencies. Yeah. And she talks a lot about the history of the Promise software and the Palantir software. And it became quite clear to me, just from listening to her description of these, that these are central to the targeting operations and have been for decades now. And again, this takes you right back into the deep state, the CIA, the NSA, the various military organizations and intelligence organizations that are hiring these data mining software programs that can then spit out all kinds of, you know, fancy diagrams and charts and graphs that are very easily interpreted by intelligence agents in the field. So the people who are actually doing the targeting, those would be the special operations forces and the civilian military contractors working with, you know, InfraGuard and various other groups, usually staffed by ex-military, ex-CIA, ex-FBI, ex-police. This would be their aid to see every aspect of the targeted individual's life, and So let me just, if you want to break in, I don't know how much you've gotten into this, but this is really rich stuff. And for the targeted individuals out there, I think it's worth looking at my other article here, which is called Deep State Surveillance, Tracking, Stalking, and Whacking of Targeted Individuals, which are also referred to as dissidents and terrorists, with Prominent, Prism, and Palantir software programs. These are the insights of Whitney Webb and others.
Here's a question. The January 6th political prisoners have been abused horribly. They are so beaten down, and obviously many of them ruined for life. They're begging to be transferred to Gitmo. They want to go to Gitmo. Are these people, would they qualify, in your overview, as gang stalking victims? I say yes, absolutely. And they're being just brutalized by a system that has no longer any care or reference to the Constitution or to the values upon which this society was built.
Absolutely true. And they are being tortured. And this is very much out of the playbook, as Douglas Valentine, the brilliant author Douglas Valentine, points out in his two books about the Phoenix Program, one called The Phoenix Program in 1990, and the other is The CIA as Organized Crime, How Covert Operations Corrupt America and the World, in which he really summarizes, again, the essence of the Phoenix Program that was carried out, a CIA program in the Vietnam War, to torture, attack, and subvert and defeat the domestic population. So it's terrorism in many forms that was computerized. And they had regional torture centers all over the place. This was invented by a guy named Dr. Robert Comer out of Harvard and a guy named Nelson Brickham, I think, who was with General Motors. And these guys, you know, had a very scientific way of trying to defeat the domestic population so that the United States could win the war in Vietnam. And they had regional torture centers. First, of course, as in typical counterinsurgency operations, which the CIA and the military have done all over the world, as Douglas Valentine points out, the CIA will drop a list of enemies or insurgents, and they will be teachers and mailmen or people of influence in the local community. And then the army, the military goes in and whacks them. And it's the old 1-2 punch. So you make the list, the CIA makes the list, and the military disposes them. And we saw that with the My Lai massacre. That was one of many, many, many instances where the military goes in and just, you know, destroys everybody in a village. I think 282 were killed in that incident, but there were thousands of that kind of incident. But anyway, at the end of his book on the Phoenix Program, he says, you'll know the Phoenix Program has come home to roost when you see indefinite detentions of civilians locked up in prison. And, you know, you can just go through his checklist to realize that the Phoenix Program is now globalized. We now have a global Phoenix Program. It's now in America. And the people who captured our government are using these techniques against certainly the Five Eyes countries are being targeted especially. So it would seem that the people who, you know, founded our countries are not in control. There's some other group or groups in control that want to target especially these domestic terrorists, which is everybody who disagrees with their narrative. So, these people in prison, this is an atrocity that the Americans should not stand for, because those people could be you. Just like the targeted individuals, like myself, that could be you tomorrow. And so it's people need to wake up and, like, pull together. I mean, we have a common enemy, and I'm afraid it's in the White House and in Congress. And it is we have a government in capture. It's been a long time coming, you know, the old Fabian socialist, incremental approach. And yes, that's certainly the British Fabian socialist, certainly one of the major fifth column groups involved in this, as well as others, the Zionists, of course, right at the top of the list. Yeah, so to go back to the insights of this brilliant gal, Whitney Webb, in her book, I haven't read it yet, but I've
I've written her several times and invited her to come on the program, never got a response, so I understand. She is very impressive and does good work.
Very impressive.
Susan Bradford is another jewel. She was on earlier tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Webb is a real researcher. I got it. She's good.
Well, and not only that, she has the brain for, I think she has a computer for a brain, so she can remember all these details. It's like, you know, she's got like more computers, you know, cooking away in her brain than most of us have. So anyway, here's what she kind of points out, and I'll just give it in bullet point form from this article on the deep state surveillance, tracking, stalking, and whacking of targeted individuals. And I'll preface it by just my first quote here is on Richard Helms in 1972, the CIA director said, in effect, in a meeting, which is described in this quote, in order to spy on domestic dissidents, just call them terrorists. Okay, so we have this little Orwellian wordplay here going on Helms wanted to keep the MH Chaos program going, which is the CIA's domestic operations against American citizens. It was really against American dissidents or people who protested the war in Vietnam, like myself. And people got 300,000 were on that list with their names in the Pentagon. And, you know, they had these big bulletin boards down there with the pictures and everything.
Yeah.
And these became the enemies of the state. And of course, this became the prototype for the global targeting program. Now the Phoenix program, which has gone global, but he was very determined that this program should keep running even in secrecy after the Church Committee hearings in the mid 70s tried to shut them down. But the COINTELPRO of the FBI and the MH Chaos program of the CIA and the Phoenix program are all very much running now in this targeted individual program. As well as the MK Ultra and the Monarch program. All these programs have merged, the East German Stasi, et cetera. And it's very much happening. So when Helms ended his meeting, he wanted to just change the MH Chaos name to a new name, International Terrorism Group. And now we've just taken people who are just average Americans with a different viewpoint that we've now demonized as terrorists. So I hope people can start to see the trickery, deception, the monstrous betrayal of our democratic institutions represented in the CIA history that we've got. So here are her points, which is very, very good. Promise was the data mining software that came around in 1973, invented by Bill and Nancy Hamilton. It was used to track financial transactions, and it was, a computer software program that could, sweep up enormous amounts of data and then
huge.
Crunch it. Yeah. But then the government in 1980 under Reagan stole it from them. And this was the Edwin Meese Justice Department with Henry Kissinger looking on as Secretary of State and National Security Director.
Right.
And so then the U.S. government stole it, and there was a big, long lawsuit that, of course, Hamilton lost. But then it was changed to mainly track, quote-unquote, dissidents. Okay, call them terrorists. But all they are is people who disagree with the government narrative, people who might be against the war or something like that. And then she said, Promise was and is used in conjunction with metadata. Okay, that's what the big push has been for. She said the Promise was used to develop the main core list of dissidents in the 1980s, which supposedly had 6 million names on it in 2008. I'm sure it's much more now, maybe 20 million or more, maybe half of America now that we're all considered domestic terrorist threats, because that really is the same dynamic, isn't it? The CIA's, again, Phoenix program, the computer-based database system for identifying so-called dissidents, created a reign of terror in Vietnam. Well, that now has come to America. And this became the model for later state terror operations, such as Operation Condor, or in South America, which used the Promise software. Okay, so now we have the direct link, terrorism, dissidents, Promise, data crunching, going after enemies of the state. And then she says, the inventor, owner, Promise charged the Department of Reagan's Justice Department with stealing it and modifying it to spy on people. The CIA shopped the Promise software to basically all U.S. intelligence agencies, all 18 or so of them, in 1981. Okay, so where were you in 1981? This was happening. Then, interesting little quirk, Israeli spies came to America. A guy named Rafi Aitken, who's kind of a famous Israeli super spy.
ATN, isn't it?
Aitken, yeah, something like that. Aitken or something. He's the guy who supposedly caught Heinrich Himmler or one of those guys, or Eichmann. Maybe it's Eichmann. Anyway.
Oh, in South America, in Patagonia.
Yeah, in South America. So anyway, he snuck into America under a pseudonym, Dr. Orr, and then he stole the Promise software, managed to steal it, and then he sent it off to one of his computer genius buddies over in Silicon Valley. They put a back door on it, which then would make accessible all the information that's collected and swept up in the Promise program to the Israeli intelligence agencies. And then Robert Maxwell, father of Ghislaine Maxwell, the madam of our famous pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, he then was a fantastic salesman. He sold this to governments and spy agencies and and nuclear facilities all throughout the world.
How was it that this software was put together by just a couple of people? Were they extraordinarily brilliant? Did they get lucky? How did it happen?
Well, he was an NSA guy. I mean, I'm sure he was one of the best in the country or the world at that sort of thing. But then he tried to go into the private sector. And again, he didn't really intend it. He didn't want it to track people, but he wanted it to track financial, computer program also is used for tracking financial transactions. It's very, very effective for a lot of things now with Palantir and Prism, etc. But this idea of having Israel having a back door in 1983, think about that. Okay, now, this has given them a lot of information and a lot of leverage over the last 40 years. And then, 1997 report stated that NSA had been seeding computers abroad with Promise embedded smart system chips, that's systems management automated reasoning tools, that can be read by U.S. intelligence satellites. Okay, the satellites are involved. And again, this is the same concept. Now we're going to have a kind of a back door, and we're going to see what you see. So these spy games are just unbelievable. And I believe that these programs have been and are very much in use in the organized stalking networks. This is what they're using.
They seem to have multi-application potential. That's what made them so desirable, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But they're perfect for tracking, spying, data collecting, and sharing components, through different systems. They say that, back in the old days, the FBI's data and the CIA's data were siloed in different compartments. But now Palantir and these things have kind of brought it into one great big data pool that they can access instantaneously and in real time, and now build a profile on anybody, anywhere, and basically see everything that they're doing, which gives them almost unlimited power to control the lives of individuals around the world. And so that's why, the bells went off in my brain that, hey, this is what's happening to me and other targeted individuals. Going down through this list of bullet points here, Israeli super spy Robert Maxwell, who got had a career as a publisher in Britain, but he was really a double agent, quadruple agent. He was a quadruple agent for Saudi Arabia, Russia, England, the United States, and Israel. Maybe five, I don't know. But anyway, and then also these Iran-Contra enterprise criminals Ghorbani Farr and Adnan Khashoggi were all involved in selling promise throughout the world. So this is all going on in the early and middle 80s. I was just starting my career as a professor, and I'm sure I was on the list by the time they put the promise in the main core list, because I was an activist in the Beyond War program and all kinds of things, you know. So they just put you up in the database, and that main core list has been sitting there, and I'm sure they're pulling it out now. So then PRISM, let me just say a couple words about that. Whitney didn't go into that much, but I've got a series of articles that are on this particular post, and a couple, three of them are very general, and one of them is fantastic, showing the amount of spying that was done just in the year 2013, which was the year that I was maliciously stalked for the first time that I could recognize it. So there's a lot going on in 2013. A lot of TIs I've talked to started their experience in that year. PRISM is the top secret government program that the NSA used to collect, collate, monitor, look at, cross-check all these different databases. And they, through the FISA court, 702 FISA court rulings, they were able to lean on major internet companies, Microsoft, Yahoo, AOL, Facebook, Google, Apple, PalTalk, YouTube, Dropbox, and Skype, to share all their data. And that means all their data about their customers. And so that means that in the NSA supercomputer in Bluffdale, Utah, you know, which has however many million square feet and all these supercomputers, everything about you that they know is about you is collected there and will be, they think, forever. I hope it doesn't may it last that long. Edward Snowden exposed this and got into big trouble, of course. He's considered maybe the most dangerous terrorist of all, and I'm sure he's a targeted individual. He said this data includes email, chat, videos, photos, stored data, VOLP, file transfers, video conferencing, notifications of target activity, that's interesting, logins, etc., online social networking details, in other words, everything. So basically in this process, the Attorney General, under the Patriot Act, the Attorney General, whoever he is, issues a secret order to the tech companies to hand over access of all its data to the FBI, and then the FBI turns it over to the NSA, and then, of course, Israel's got the back door to the NSA, so they get all that information. I've heard it said, by the way, Jeff, that Israel's behind the whole stalking program, or Jews are. So I'll just throw that out there. We can talk about that because I think it's quite possible. And
Well, at the very least, it's certainly a technology that they would want to deploy against any society that is under their thumb or boot or whatever. Of course.
Yeah, I really see United States, UK, and Israel as being the central players in all this. But if we look at the connection with Israel, we see, you know, a lot of activity, you know, with their Operation Talpiot and all these high-tech things that have been going on ever since. And, of course, Brendan O'Connell is very good about that.
He's been on the program a number of times, and I wish I could get back in touch with him, but he knows a lot. I thought he kind of quit for a while. I don't know
if he was
threatened
or what. I'm sure he's targeted severely. You know, I mean, when they go after you, they try to break you. They try to, you know... Sure. Destroy your life and your finances and everything else to take you out. These are, you know, non-lethal weapons that they're using generally, no-touch torture, and the idea is to just incapacitate you so you can't pose a threat anymore. And they want all elements of society to do it to you. You know, they want to get others to do it. So, you know, it could be your grocer, could be your vet, could be your doctor, could be any one of thousands of people that the targeted individual actually encounters. That could be, extremely negative encounter, could be a deadly encounter in some of these cases of automobile setups, et cetera. But it's a very sophisticated program, and the way they can do it is they have this real-time capacity to know exactly where the target is at all times, and they've got their eyes in all these other systems as well. So it's a little bit like the movie, The Hunger Games, where you have this, you know, this battlefield down there where the people are kind of competing one-on-one, but then you have this network of people sitting above them with other computer screens that are kind of controlling what's happening on the battlefield. So it's an electronic battlefield that most of us can't see. But we see in glimpses of that with, like, the movie The Truman Show, you know, because everybody around Truman is acting, and somebody, the guy named Christoph, you never see, he's the director, he's giving the lines to the actors who are playing roles in Truman's life. So everybody's,
you know, I saw that movie once, and I wanted to see it again. I never did. It really warrants another look. Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't able to pick up on it the first time. But by the third time I saw it, I saw what was happening. It's very, very good description of the life of a targeted individual, except for a TI goes through much more negative experiences than they show in that movie. It's a very kind of a light touch, you know, everybody's superficial, friendly, fake. Sure. But in a real targeted individual's life, they use trauma-based mind control. So the experiences are much more likely to be traumatic, to break the person down, to map their minds, and all this, yeah. All this really dark stuff. But let's get to Palantir, because that's the really amazing one. That's, 2003 to present. And this was founded in 2003 by Peter Thiel, Nathan Gettings, Joe Lonsdale, Stephen Cohen, and Alex Karp. And it's now the inheritor of, the promise. And it's a great big data analytics software company, which was developed by computer scientists and intelligence people from the CIA in the period between 2003 and 2009. And the CIA is the main client and the main investor. So basically, Palantir is a public-private partnership arrangement with the CIA and the intelligence agencies in the government. And it, again, straddles the missions of targeting enemies of the state in real time, but also targeting financial transactions and many other things. So it's now worth billions of dollars. But it's, right, it's used for, quote-unquote, counterterrorism by many, many Western governments. Well, counterterrorism is what they call, what we call organized stalking, electronic harassment. They call counterterrorism. So Palantir Gotham was originally Palantir government. It is widely used by counterterrorism offices of all these U.S. intelligence agencies, the DOD, also cyber analysts at Information Warfare Monitor. We've talked about information warfare. And police departments. We've talked about how sheriff departments are running these things, these programs. So, again, we see the same information is coming up to the surface all the time. And this, again, it seems to me to be an integral part of this whole system. Again, going back to Whitney Webb's observations, Palantir reported that computers using AI alone can't defeat a, quote, an adaptive enemy. I would be an adaptive enemy because I'm using my brains to stay alive. They're trying to kill me. And I'm not kidding. I mean, they really want to destroy their targets. So they need assistance from human analysts, and we've talked about online human intelligence analysts or HUMINT or cyber stalkers or cyber warfare, and they've got their on-the-ground civilian special forces stalkers and, surveillance role players, etc. So it's a very elaborate system. Again, Palantir Gotham's clients include CIA, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, which, fusion centers put out the contracts on these things, NSA, FBI, CDC, Marine Corps, Air Force, Special Operations Command, U.S. Military Academy Joint Improvised Threat Defeat Organization, and allies. So these bullet points, mostly from Whitney Webb, got me looking into these software things. And Palantir, of course, especially, is the one that's being used now. Seems to be the most deadly. And we actually have many, one of the products they sell is called the Killer App. Alex Karp, the CEO, admitted that this can result in the murder of people. And many, many other comments. Here's what our friend, who I've never met, but the Corbett Report, says about how Palantir conquered the world. This came out just 5 days ago, Jeff, so we're very timely here. Mm-hmm. Imagine a company that knows everything about everyone, a company that is equally at ease helping banks identify fraud as it is helping intelligence agencies track down enemies of the state. a company that combined pictures of you with your cell phone location data, emails you've written, your health records and credit card purchases, and thousands of other pieces of electronic data to paint an intimate portrait of your life, a portrait that any would-be investigator can pull up with a few keystrokes. That's your local sheriff. A company that can target anywhere in the world at any time. We're talking about the Beast system here. And then he says, now stop imagining. I said that wasn't Corbett. Now stop imagining that company because it already exists. It's called Palantir Technologies. Palantir is a front company for DARPA's Total Information Awareness, which, by the way, was voted down by Congress just the month before Palantir started up in May of 2013. So it's obvious that this whole, you know, John Poindexter and Michael Hayden's Total Information Awareness Program was not accepted by Congress, so they farmed it out to Palantir. So that was a one secret.
It's interesting how they work these things around the corner when they have to.
Yeah,
they're not going to be stopped. And they won't be stopped. They're ruthless. Anyway.
They're absolutely ruthless and hell-bent on controlling everyone in the world, I'm afraid.
Those that they will leave alive. We're losing a lot of people, Eric. I think we're losing tens of thousands of Americans a day right now. I think the total is over 20 million, easily hidden. And I think I think we're looking very seriously right down the throat of the Deagle.com projections. 2 years and 2 months from now, we may have less than 100 million people here. That's it. People are dying. They are miserable. They're not leaving home. They've been severely, gravely wounded by these. By the way, in case you didn't know, Pfizer and Moderna were put under contract by the Department of Defense. The DOD owns these shots. It is a weapons system. Follow? It's DOD, taxpayer-paid, Department of Defense weapons systems. These are not vaccinations. They're DOD weapons, just so you know.
Well, very much as is the targeting program. I mean, that's why all of these things are going to come together.
Perfect crossover. Perfect.
Yeah, these programs reinforce each other. And I was, you know, always, you know, talking to other TIs on emails and whatnot. And when the COVID hit, I said, well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if the targeting stops now because the COVID is so, you know, dangerous and everything. But of course it didn't, because they're both being controlled by the same entities. They are both forms of warfare against the domestic population. And the DOD is central to it. So, you know, Susan Sorkin, she nailed it. You know, this is unconventional warfare by the deep state, DOD, central banks, and private investors, very powerful people against the population of the world. So going back to Palantir, by the way, for your audience, maybe you've read the Tolkien's trilogy, The Lord of the Rings, and the Palantir is the little seeing stone that, I don't know if you read that, Jeff, but it's a great story. I just reread it about a year. You might want escapist literature. It's pretty darn good. But it's a seeing stone. Of course, the devil analogy is this dark, dark wizard named Sauron. And these seeing stones were owned by the wizards, and Sauron had a number of these. And with this seeing stone, he could see into different parts of the world and go through different time spaces. So it's actually rather aptly named. So here's what is another article that came out in the New York Times, of all places. Does Palantir see too much? The tech giant helps governments and law enforcement decipher vast amounts of data to mysterious and some say dangerous ends. Okay, that's the title. Here's what he says. Okay, during the period in which Palantir software was being developed, CI analysts would test the software out and offer feedback. And then the employees from Palantir would fly back and forth between 2005 and 2009, made about 20 trips between Palo Alto, California, and Langley, Virginia, the CIA headquarters. And with Palantir, once the data has been integrated, it can be presented in the form of tables, graphs, timelines, heat maps, artificial intelligence models, histograms, spider diagrams, and geospatial analysis. Now, I'm sure GIS, Geographic Information Systems, is prominently utilized. It is a digital panopticon, and having sat through several Palantir demos, I can report that the interface is impressive. The search results are strikingly elegant.
Where did you sit through these demos?
No, I'm reading the article. This is a guy by the name of...
Okay, sorry. I thought there was a pause there.
Yeah, it's in his first person, yes. And then he says, the search results are strikingly elegant and easy to understand. Then he says, those appealing visuals were conceived in order to hunt and kill terrorists. Okay, now that's why I went back to Richard Helms at the beginning. Remember when he said, okay, to spy on dissidents, just call them terrorists. So, you know... So,
Got it.
Then he said, Palantir's effort to market its software to police departments can also be regarded as an example of how weapons originally meant for the war on terrorism are now being deployed on American streets. So what we have is the greatest bait and switch deception, I think, one of them, you know, in the world, which is the government is the terrorist. Most terrorism is state-sponsored. But whoever the government doesn't like, they call them terrorists. And then they have this incredible arsenal of weapons to use against those terrorists. And then they just make this little name change. And now we'll take dissidents and we'll call them terrorists. And those, you know, I guess mentally challenged sheriffs and police departments, they get on board because, hey, they're having fun. They're making money. They're doing their job. They're going after terrorists. And that's my experience, Jeff. Those guys are dumb as a stick. To me, they're dumb as a stump because I get harassed by them.
Well, the sad thing is, so many people who work for the federal government are not the smartest. They just aren't. We think they are because they're working for the big ultimate bureaucracy. These people must be gifted. They must be exceptionally wise. No, they're not. A lot of them are just idiots. It's like police. They don't hire police with IQs of over 100 in some departments, and sometimes it's less than that. They don't want intelligent people.
Yeah, but see, they've got machinery to tell them what to do. You know, they've got their little computer screen. Okay, go after this.
All computerized. It's all computer generated. Run right through the car, and they're extensions of the computer.
That's
right.
It tells you who the enemy is, and then you just, okay, he's on this street over there. Go over there and harass him. So I might get 20 harassments by police when I go to the little town of Alamosa, Colorado. And
really?
That's just the last few months. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
I mean, they're just, it's all, you know, kind of, you know, low-key intimidation, you know, and
Right. Tell
you the truth, it doesn't really intimidate me much anymore, but it's meant to intimidate, and, you know, it is no-touch torture, it's psychological warfare, actually, is what it is, and there's many, many different techniques, but I pull up that example to show that absolutely the police departments are in on it. They're actually kind of organizing it at the local level. This whole thing has turned America into a hellhole, actually, if you ask me.
Yes.
Of course.
You may be being too polite. It's getting worse.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when you've got large sectors of the society hunting down, tracking and hunting, and celebrating the suicide of their fellow citizens, that's a cult. That's a satanic cult, in my opinion.
Yes, it is. I know, you're right.
And so I think we have a large number of intersecting satanic cults in America. And I have come to this, again, after studying this for a long time. I've got over 2,000 posts on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website. And it hurts me to say that we have so many satanic cults in America, but certainly the Masons and the Jews, I think, would be, you know, at near the top of the master cult. But also the intelligence agencies would be also satanic cults. And in their own organizations like Scientologists, all of these have their own versions of the gang stalking. I mean, the Masons call it the white glove or the secret dagger, the silent dagger, the slow dagger.
Yeah,
and they would have used this. They would have used these technologies for the last centuries to eliminate people they don't like. So they gang up on them. It's like a bunch of cowards and bullies. And of course, Jews have this in their, all the prophets were killed by the Jews and the apostles. So this goes back to the time of Christ, and you can read about it in the book of Acts, how 40 Jews made a pact that they weren't going to sleep until they killed the Apostle Paul. You know, he slipped out of their clutches that time, but they got him later and imprisoned him, and then they, stoned him. And it's like, this is a dangerous bunch, And right. They have been for a long, 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 long time, and it's in a lot of history books. So, and then in the British and American intelligence came up with lots and lots of these weird cults like Scientology UFO cult.
Oh,
and they use a thing called fair game, which is the same. If one of their cult members leaves the cult, they have this technique of gang stalking them to ruin or to death. This is a cultural dynamic which has been now radically, quote-unquote, improved by the technologies available.
True. We have to wrap it up. Go ahead, real quick.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Jeff. I want to get this out to the targeted individuals because I think it's a key piece of information I'm not hearing too much about from that community. I hope, maybe if there's some lawsuits down the way, I hope we can prevail. These people are getting away with murder.
They literally are. I know.
Yep.
It's sickening. Yep. Eric, thank you. You take care. Be safe out there.
Okay.
Be safer out there.
You too.
All right.
You too.
Okay. Thank you. Good night. All right. That's it. Thursday, tomorrow, Friday. Johnny Barber will be here tomorrow night. Looking forward to that as always. And other things. We shall continue in 21 hours. Be careful. Talk to you tomorrow.